Again, this morning or this evening, we'd like to turn to the same passage we read this morning, Mark chapter 10. We'll read verses 46 through 52. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me, or on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. The topic that we want to address in this message does not appear directly in the text. The topic being the hearing of the preached word. In our text, there is no preaching that took place, but there is a message that was delivered to Bartimaeus. Not a sermon, per se, by a preacher, but there was a message delivered to him concerning Jesus Christ. And he heard that message. And there was a response to that message. And in hearing that message and his response to that message, I believe we can find a pattern for us in hearing and responding to the preached Word of God. So that's our subject tonight, Bartimaeus, a pattern for hearing and responding to the preached word. The importance of the preached word cannot be overstated. All through the Word of God, we see God's word being preached. We see God's word being commanded to be preached. We see the importance of the preaching of God's Word. God uses His preached Word in many, many ways. He uses it to encourage His people in His service. He uses it to strengthen His people, to strengthen their faith, to strengthen their resolve, to strengthen the spiritual man. He uses the preached Word to bring comfort to hearts that are hurting. He uses the preached word to heal the spiritually diseased, to revive sluggish hearts, to impart zeal to his service. He uses the preached word to convict the hearts of his people of that which is contrary to him. Certainly uses the preached word to humble the hearts of his people. He uses it to guide them, to direct them, to enlighten his people concerning his will, concerning his ways. He uses it to correct error. He uses it to protect. He uses it to warn his people of danger and pitfalls along the way. He uses it to give hope and to give assurance to God's people. And he uses it so that we can mark and measure where we are, spiritually. And with all that in mind, we learn some things about hearing the preached word from Bartimaeus. And that's what we want to look at. We want to bring out six things that we can apply to ourselves in hearing the word of God. First of all, the spirit and attitude of Bartimaeus. And again, we realize that blind Bartimaeus, as he sat by the highway side begging, as he sat there that day, he was not there waiting for Christ. We understand that. He was not there waiting for Christ. When you and I come into the house of God to hear God's word, that's exactly what we ought to be doing, waiting and expecting Jesus Christ. That wasn't the case with Bartimaeus. I believe he simply thought that it would be a typical day in his life. He would beg. He would receive some coins. At the end of the day, he would still be blind. He would still be poor. But there are some things about him that will be helpful if we are to properly hear, receive, and respond to the preached word of God. We need to do all three of those. We need to hear it. We need to respond. We need to receive. And as Bartimaeus sat by the side of the road, first of all, he was fully aware that he was blind. No one had to convince him of that. He was fully aware of his blindness. He knew all about it. He knew all about the difficulties. He knew all about the hardships. He lived it. He knew all about the confusion that was in his life and the fears and the apprehensions and the dangers. He knew all about the risks and the vulnerabilities of his blindness. He knew about the impairments and the sadness of his blindness. Bartimaeus knew that he was blind. He knew that. And as Bartimaeus sat on the side of the road, was he not also fully aware that he was poor? No one had to tell him that he was poor. He knew that he was impoverished. He lived his life with very, very little, having barely what was sufficient for his most basic needs. He knew that he was poor. He knew that he was blind. He knew that he was poor as he sat on that roadside in the darkness of his blindness, vulnerable to all kinds of things because of his condition. Holding his cup, begging, he knew that he was an extremely needy individual. We need to know that. When we come to hear the word of God, we need to know, I am an extremely needy individual. Bartimaeus knew that he needed the coins that he collected in his cup. He knew that. And when we come to hear the word of God, we ought to know, I need this. I need to hear. And I need to respond. And I need to receive. And again, we don't really respond until we do receive. And therein lies the problem many times. People hear, but they do not receive. If we receive, we will respond. And we will respond in a good way. No doubt, as Barnabas sat on the side of the road, in the darkness of his blindness. He was a very humble man. As you read here, you can't imagine Bartimaeus sitting there proud. You can't even imagine that. He's sitting there as a very humble individual. He's sitting there knowing, I am blind. I am poor. He's begging. He's very, very humble. There was no feeling of superiority. I mean, does anybody believe that blind Bartimaeus, as he sat there begging, felt superior to anybody? There's no self-righteousness. There's no self-esteem. He was a very humble individual. So as you look at him, you see there is a desperate sense of need. He knew he had a need. And when we come to hear the Word of God, we need to know our need is desperate. And I'm speaking of God's people. The needs of God's people are desperate needs. And we ought to come with a deep sense of humility. We're not to come with the Laodicean spirit that we read of in Revelation 3 and verse 17. We're to come knowing, I need this. I need this more than anything. There isn't anything out there that I need more than what I need here. And we come and we ought to be humble. No self-esteem. No superiority. No self-righteousness. But just sitting there humble knowing, I am needy. Again, Bartimaeus, we're quite aware, Bartimaeus wasn't on that roadside that day expecting Jesus. He wasn't there to meet Jesus. We understand all of that. But we see his spirit is one of need and humility. And that's how we are to come into the house of God. Anything short of that quenches the Spirit of God. Secondly, notice his attention. In verse 46, again we see Jesus with his disciples. And then there's also a great number of people separate from his disciples. And they enter Jericho. And we see, by as you read on in that verse, they are also leaving Jericho. So they've passed through the city. And we're told that while this was going on, blind Bartimaeus sat by the highway side begging. What was his focus? His focus was all the people that were passing by. His focus was begging. But in verse 47, he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth that passeth by. Again, he could sense that something was happening, so he asked, what's going on? And they told him that Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Again, there was no sermon preached by a preacher, but there was a communication to Barnabas. That communication was this, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. There was a message. I'm not saying it was a sermon, but it was a message. Was it not a piece of information delivered to Bartimaeus? That's what a sermon is. It's information. It's the information of God. And it's information that concerns every single individual. Now, the message to Bartimaeus was really quite simple. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Jesus of Nazareth is walking down the street. Jesus of Nazareth is passing through. It's a very simple message. There's nothing not to understand there. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. But it was also a very deep message. Just in that very word, Jesus. It's a message that cannot be fully comprehended. The subject of the message was Jesus. That was the subject of the communication. That was the subject of the information. Jesus. And it was a subject that was relevant to Bartimaeus. Jesus is always a subject that's relevant to each and every individual. And it's timely. This was a timely piece of information to Bartimaeus. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. The message of God's word is always timely. But that piece of information that was given to Bartimaeus, did it not cause him to know something? It caused him to know what? That Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. So he's received a message. He's received a piece of information. Now Bartimaeus, just like all of us, he's got to do something with that information. You got to do something with it. You might forget it, but you've done something with it. You might be indifferent toward it, but you've done something with it. You might do what Bartimaeus did, but you do something with the message. And so it is every time we hear God's word preached, we do something with it. Every single time. Now, most of us have spent most of our lives hearing the Word of God preached. That's a lot of messages. We're into the thousands and thousands. And we did something with every single one. Can you imagine giving account for every single message that you've ever heard? You did something with every single one of them. Every single one. Every message, we do something with it. This particular message got the attention of Bartimaeus. Which leads us to the third thing. He was stirred. He was stirred. Think of all the messages that you've ever heard. And how many really stirred you? Really stirred you. If you think about it, if it didn't stir us, I mean, we're talking about the Word of God. Did we really receive it? That's just something to think about. What Bartimaeus heard was Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. But he didn't just merely hear that with his ear. He received those words in his heart. How do we know that? His entire being was impacted by those words. It changed his whole day. Changed everything. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. It wasn't something that he shrugged off. How many messages have we shrugged off? This was not a message that he shrugged off. It was not something that he was indifferent toward. He didn't just sit there as Jesus passed by. The reason is because he was stirred. He heard those words with his heart. His heart was stirred. There was When I talk about a stirring, I'm talking about there was a movement, a God movement, a God disturbance, a God stimulation in his heart. It was a stirring that caused him to believe something more than the common folks that were around him that day. Remember when he asked, what's going on, as he heard all the noise and the excitement? And what did they say? They said, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. They didn't say, Jesus the Lord of Lords, Jesus the King of Kings. They didn't say any of that because they didn't view him that way. They simply viewed him as Jesus of Nazareth. But Bartimaeus heard those words. Thou son of David. That's more than Jesus of Nazareth. He's referring to him as the sent one of God. As the sent king. As the Savior. So you see, this stirring caused him to believe something that the common people did not believe. He also believed that Jesus was merciful. That's obvious from his plea. Also obvious from his plea, he believed that he was unworthy. That he was needy. Because his plea was for mercy. He had no merit to plead. He also believed that Jesus was compassionate toward a beggar. That Jesus was able to meet his needs. His simple cry tells us what he believed. But also, I believe, he was stirred to feel a sense of urgency. They didn't say, Jesus of Nazareth is here. It's true, but that's not what they said. Because that could imply that he's staying a while. But they say he passeth by. In other words, he's not here to stay. This is not an opportunity, Bartimaeus, that you get every day. He passeth by. There are many things that we need, but one of them is a feeling of a sense of urgency. In these days in which we live. And when God's word is preached, it ought to be preached with a sense of urgency. If a preacher can't feel a sense of urgency, he needs to quit preaching. And every time we come to hear God's word, there ought to be a sense of urgency. This may be the last time that I hear the preached word of God. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. It's as if this thought comes to the mind of Bartimaeus. This is my time to be fixed. I may not have tomorrow. This is my time to be fixed. That needs to always be our sense when we hear God's word preached. This is my time. This is now is my time to be fixed. Now this message, Jesus of Nazareth passeth by, changed his entire focus. He went from holding his cup out begging with the passers-by
depleting with Christ. His entire focus is now upon Jesus Christ. He's consumed with the person of Jesus Christ. So consumed that his attention could not be diverted by what others said or thought. Because they told Bartimaeus to be quiet. But that didn't divert his attention. He has received the message. And his attention cannot be diverted. It's amazing how easily attention is diverted in a church service. It's unbelievable. But here's a man. His attention could not be diverted by the people. His attention is upon Jesus Christ. So what did he do? He prayed. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. That was a prayer. It was a short prayer. It was a very comprehensive prayer. But it was a prayer that could not be repressed. It was a prayer that could not be held in. He couldn't help himself. He has received this message that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. So he begins to pray. And you know what? He didn't care what all those people were saying. Didn't matter to him one iota. He didn't care what they thought. He has one thing on his mind. He wants what only Jesus can give. That ought to be us. Every time we come and hear the Word of God. And he prayed. How many times all the messages that we've heard throughout our life did we pray? And he prayed for himself. Not saying you can't pray for others. But before we pray for anybody else, under the hearing of God's word, we ought to pray for ourselves. And we will if we realize how needy we are. He didn't say, "Thou son of David, have mercy on all these people that are passing by." Wouldn't have been anything wrong with praying that. But he prayed, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." But you see, his focus has changed. He's not focusing on his coat. He's not focusing on his cup. He's focused on that piece of information that he now has. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. And he prayed. He prayed for himself. And that ought to be very common during a church service. God's people praying for themselves. Oh God, help me. Help me. So many times people get mad. I'm here to tell you, you'd be better off praying than getting mad. He prayed with passion. He prayed with animation. There was great eagerness. And what's he praying for? He was pleading with the passersby for coins because that's all they could give. But he doesn't plead with Jesus for coins because he gives so much more. Here's a man who can fix my condition. So what does he pray? He prays that his condition. Have mercy upon me. Fourthly, There was a call that went forth from Christ. We see that in verse 49. And when the Word of God is preached, and again we realize here that this was just a piece of information, but when the Word of God is preached, a call goes forth. There's a general call that goes forth to all lost people. But there's also a call that goes forth to God's people. And I believe that's so, and every time the Word of God is preached in truth. He calls him to come. Now you think about that. Bartimaeus is sitting on the side of the road begging. What better situation for a beggar to have a bunch of people passing by? That's good business. And at this particular occasion, a large group of people was passing by. This was not normal. It was caused Bartimaeus to ask, what's going on? And the message now is, Bartimaeus, he calleth thee. I don't know if I should leave my post. I mean, I haven't had this many people pass by in a long time. None of that mattered. It's always a good time to come when He calls. Doesn't matter. God's people are experts in putting spiritual responsibilities off, putting coming to Christ off. Well, I've got this going on, I've got this. Christ says, come, you come. That's the only thing that matters. Well, what will people think? Doesn't matter. Well, you know, I'm not the worst one in this building. Perhaps not. But that's not how you should look at it. You should look at it as I am the absolute worst one. There isn't anyone worse. How can there be? So it doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. Doesn't matter what they're going to say. Well, if I respond, they're going to think I'm not as spiritual as they used to think I was. What's that matter? You're going to ruin your spiritual life? You're going to continue in spiritual darkness because you're worried about what someone's going to think? You're not going to draw near to Christ because you're worried about what someone's going to think? Why, if that's the case, your condition's worse than you can even imagine. Fifthly, so we have this call. We see there was a drawing near to Christ. Something has to be done with the call. The messages that we have heard throughout our lifetime, the messages preached in truth, a call went forth. And we did something with the call every single time. In verse 50, we read, and he cast away his garment. He cast away his garment. I believe the reason he did that was because he felt it might impede him, might slow his progress. But he's brought to the point where he's willing to cast away anything and everything to get to Christ. We need to be brought to that point every single time we hear the Word of God preached. I am willing to cast away everything that's in the way that needs to be our spirit. Let nothing stand between us and Christ. There's Christ. He's standing still. He's calling. Let nothing stand between you and Him. And we read that He rose. And when He rose, what did He have on His mind? Christ. That's the only thing on his mind. He's not thinking, what are these people going to think? He has one thing upon his mind. When he leaves that cup, same thing. And then we read that he came to Jesus. Luke, in his account, in Luke chapter 18 and verse 40, says when he was come near. He came to Jesus. He drew near to Christ. He left the colt. He left the cup. He left the side of the road. He left everything. And came to Christ. So there he is. He's near Christ. You know, there's a lot of things that we want to happen, but they're not going to until we get near to Christ. There are certain things happen that when you get near to Christ that would not have happened had Bartimaeus stayed on that side of the road. So there he is, he's near to Christ. And it was when he was near to Christ, verse 51, that Jesus asked him the question, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" Jesus, I don't know how far away he is from that side of the road. It's not too far because the roads weren't that wide. But Jesus didn't stand in the middle of the road and say to Bartimaeus, "Bartimaeus, what is it that you want me to do?" Bartimaeus had to get near. And then he heard that question. And it was there when he's near to Christ. Because a lot of times, if the Lord were to come down today, sit right next to you and put his arm around you and say, "Whatever you want me to do, you just speak the word, it's done. Just mention one thing." I dare say that most would give the wrong answer. You got to be in a position to give the right answer. And the only position to give the right answer is near to Christ. Near to Christ. Some might say, "Well, that you save this loved one or that loved one." That's a good request. It's not the most important. The most important is, "Lord, fix what's wrong with me. Fix what's wrong with me." So what shall I do unto thee? And it's not till we can cast aside our coat, cast aside the cup, leave the roadside, draw near to Christ, that we say what Bartimaeus said, "Lord." Notice how he addressed him. "Lord." That's reverence. It's in a position of submission that I might receive my sight. "Lord, that you would fill that cup." If that was his desire, he would have brought the cup with him. "Lord, that you give me a new coat." No, he got to the root of the problem. "Lord, that you would fix my blindness." He pleaded to the people for temporary relief because that's all the people can give. That's all they can give. They can't give any more than that. But he didn't plead with Jesus for temporary relief. He pleaded with Jesus for permanent, that I might receive my sight. In verse 52, Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And then we read, and immediately he received his sight. And the point is, he got near to Christ, and now he's in a position where he can ask the right thing. You know, a lot of times people will say, "Well, I prayed about that. I've prayed for days and days and days about that, and this is what the Lord's leading me to do." But were you in a position to pray? Were you in a position to pray? Were you in a position to ask the right way? If you were not near to Christ, you weren't. And then sixthly, there was a following of Christ. And followed Jesus in the way. Luke, in his account in Luke 18, verse 43, says he followed him glorifying God. So now we get this picture. And again, there's a huge crowd around Christ. But you look close, and there's one man, he's just smiling more than any of them. And he's shouting, he's singing. And someone might ask, well, what in the world's up with that guy? Well, let me tell you. Just a little ways back, the Lord gave him sight. So you see, he followed Christ, which means he went after Christ. Every time we hear the Word of God preached, we ought to go after Christ. Every single time. If that is not the result of the message, then we've wasted it. And if that's not the result of hearing the message, have we really received it? He went after Christ. To follow Christ is to go with Christ. The truth is, we ought to come into the building going after Christ. We ought to come into the building with Christ. And we ought to leave the same way. Except even better. He's pursuing Christ. When he's following him, who's he looking at? Christ. And that ought to be the result every time we hear the Word of God preached. What are we looking at? It's amazing how many times we look at the wrong things sitting in the house of God. We look at the wrong things when we hear a message. Sometimes people will pick out one sentence and it so upsets them they turn the rest of the message off. That's all they hear. That's all they think about for the rest of the week. One thing that upset them. They've lost it all. They've lost it. They've misused a precious privilege. Somebody will do something in the congregation. They get focused on that. And that's all they talk about the rest of the week. Following Christ, where was his attention? It was upon Christ. When we hear the Word of God preached, and we go out those doors, where ought our attention be? Christ. He leaves all for him. And follows him. And he's glorifying God. So though Bartimaeus, someone didn't stand before him and open the Word of God and preach a sermon to him, he did receive a message. And he received it. Jesus of Nazareth passeth by. Having received it, he did something with it. We need to hear. We need to receive. And when we receive, we will do the next thing. We will respond in a positive way. We all respond. We've responded to every message we've ever heard. But we do not always respond in the way we should, which ought to result in a following of Christ and a glorifying of Him. So again, there's so much, so many applications that can be made. This is true of all the Word of God. But you and I do not know how many more times, how many more messages we're going to hear. Most of us, considering the age of most of us here, we've heard more messages than we're going to hear. That is fact. What are we going to do with them? The sad thing is we get in habits. And many of them are bad. Concerning the hearing of God's Word. God help us.
as God gives us wonderful, wonderful opportunities. Every time His Word is opened and preached. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us.